Welcome to the Holistic You podcast. I'm your host, James Weiler. The purpose of this podcast is to teach you the things you didn't get taught in school, to teach you the things your parents didn't teach you about what it is to live a happy, healthy, and balanced life. Each week, we'll bring you expert guests to help you break down into bite-sized digestible pieces important life lessons you need to know. This will inspire you with confidence for your own personal journey. Welcome back to another episode. Today, guys, we have the absolute pleasure of talking with Nicole Colantoni, who is the host of Single at 30, the manual for the modern woman. Welcome, Nicole. How are you going?
Thank you for having me. I'm so well. I'm currently in LA.
And Nicole, we've had a few cracks at this, haven't we?
We have. I think this is our third or fourth time.
And Nicole has just had COVID in the last couple of weeks.
I think so, yeah. I've been out for about a week.
Thanks, Nicole, for joining us for the third time. And guys, you're in for an absolute treat. Nicole's got a really successful podcast. If you haven't listened to Single at 30, shame on you, because it is the manual for the modern woman. And I've actually been listening to a few episodes and certainly have learned a few things. So I'm wondering when she's going to release a manual for the modern man. So to start off with, Nicole, can you tell us all about your journey and what and why you started Single at 30?
Right. Yeah. So I started out as a life and mindset coach and decided to specialize as a dating and relationship coach shortly after the launch of Single at 30. Basically because after each episode aired, I would receive hundreds of messages from listeners who would reach out to me with questions and concerns about their love life. And I basically quickly realized this was an area in which women needed a lot more support and guidance. But I actually created Single at 30 shortly after my 30th birthday when I started to question like whether the modern woman could really have it all and what that might even look like. I had been single for close to 9 years at the time and was dating super intensely. And each night when I would return home from what was often like a super tragic date, I would shoot off all these voice notes to each of my friends about how it went. And when they would wake up in the morning, they would listen to them. And most of my friends who listened to the voice notes actually encouraged me to start my own podcast because they were like, A, the stuff you've experienced hasn't happened to most people. And B, I had that different perspective on what was going on because of my experience as a life coach. So what started as like the how-to for the modern woman has now evolved into this community that basically not only airs the truth and reality of being a woman, but also challenges norms and expectations when it comes to dating and relationships.
Now, Nicole, we've talked before about the dating intensely. Can you tell the listeners how often you were dating?
Towards the end, like, for about 3 years there, I treated dating like a full-time job, and I was basically on a date every night of the week, and on weekends sometimes two or three dates in one day.
That's insane. Did you ever like become quite exhausted with it, and or like ever mix up stories from different people that you were dating?
I never mixed up stories, but I definitely did get dating app fatigue. Like I can vouch that's definitely a thing because it is like a full-time job. At any given moment, you're talking to a multiple of people, and then you're also having to dedicate a lot of your free time to meeting these complete randoms when you could be using that time to chill out after work or see your friends and family. So it was definitely an exhausting process, but I also knew that I had to sort of be active when it came to my dating life.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds like you gave it a red hot crack.
I really did.
And what would you describe as the modern woman?
So the three words I would use to describe the modern woman would include multifaceted, unapologetic, and independent. So basically she wants the freedom to do what she wants, when she wants, and with who she wants. And she's basically willing to break the rules and push the boundaries in order to do it. That's how I like to think of the modern woman.
Yeah. Well, I think that sounds, from a modern man's perspective, like attractive qualities, that's for sure.
Yeah,
And when it comes to dating, I find that when I've been speaking with other people that are single, they find that it's like they get a lot of fatigue and they get frustrated at the process. And I think a lot of it is down to having the right mindset. So can you share with the listeners what sort of mindset they should have when it comes to dating?
Yeah, I think that this is a super important question. And after 9 years of being single and obviously now specializing as a dating and relationship coach, I've come to realize that the kind of mindset you need when dating is an intentional and open one. So intentional in the sense that you're very clear on the type of love you want, and open in the sense that you're open to receiving it and not willing to settle. But I feel like I need to throw in there that it shouldn't feel like hard work. We put so much effort on trying to find love instead of being the type of person who already knows that they are deserving of love, and they're two very different things.
Can you explain that in a bit more detail?
Yeah, well, I feel like people kind of like approach dating with a sense of desperation and a sort of lack of faith that they're inevitably going to find the right person. I'm sort of a believer that you wouldn't have a longing for something or a dream for something if it wasn't possible for you. So if you want love, it's inevitably going to happen for you. It's just a matter of time and circumstance. But I feel like people focus so much on the chase or get riddled with like doubt and concerns that they forget that it's like a journey and something that they have to go through, but it's also not going to last forever. So instead of just focusing on it as like a form of work, we should just sort of focus on like being our authentic selves and just enjoying the process.
Yeah, I think that's really good, enjoying the process. I feel like people, I've personally been on dates with people, it's almost treated like an interview and it feels very curated and it feels like there's an end state, as in we, you know, we need to have a relationship. Whereas, like you said, I think if it's more treated like a process of getting to know someone, it just feels more natural and probably more comfortable as well.
Yeah. And also just approaching it like knowing that you deserve the sort of life, love that you're seeking, you know, like I feel like so many people just, yeah, they attract basically how they feel about themselves. And I feel like that's the secret that most people don't understand when they're dating. Yep. If you don't feel like you are deserving of love, you're going to attract people who treat you like you're not. And it's as simple as that.
Oh, that's such good sage wisdom there. Nicole, I know that you've had your own self-love journey. So when you went through that, can you tell us like what you learned about yourself?
What I learned about myself? Yeah, wow, how much time do you have? Well, I mean, for me personally, I had a very challenging upbringing and I had a parent who was quite toxic. And because of that, I feel like in the very early stages of my dating journey, I attracted partners that sort of reinforced that toxicity that I grew up with. And it wasn't only until I came to sort of understand my childhood and my sort of like conditioning that I came to realize, okay, yeah, that's just one aspect of my life, but I can actually change that. I have the power to change that. And once I started to learn how to do that, I started attracting very different people. But it took a long time to reach that point, and I appreciate that it sometimes takes people an entire lifetime.
Yeah. And I know Nicole and I talked about this recently. Spoiler alert, guys, Nicole is not single at 30 anymore.
No.
So she's obviously been manifesting the right partner. So I'm very happy to hear that, Nicole.
Yeah. Thank you.
Can you enlighten the listeners on your journey of how you met your partner?
Yeah, no, that was a really interesting story, actually. So basically, I had just signed up to a co-working space around the corner from my house, and I was like super excited to be single. And at the time, my friend was actually trying to set me up with this guy that she thought I was like destined to be with. And I remember specifically saying to her, just give me 6 months. I'm not ready to settle down. I just want to paint the town red. And then we actually went into lockdown shortly after. And I remember crying because I was like, no, I just want to be single. And then literally I was one of 10 people going into the co-working space during lockdown. And so was my now boyfriend. And he's actually quite reserved and quite shy. And we sort of formed this friendship. He would describe it in a very different way. He would claim that I was hitting on him the whole time, which I most certainly was not. But during that time,
we'll have to get him on the show to test that.
Yeah, sure. But yeah, we ended up just like getting to know each other and started dating from there, which is just so ironic that I basically declared to the world that I wanted to be single. And then I met my now partner, who I think is my forever person. But also, just to add to that, the week my now partner and I started dating was the week I also launched Single at 30. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you think that you met your partner at that stage because you had accepted being single and embraced being single and were enjoying being single, and then obviously, poof, out of nowhere?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's exactly it. I stopped, like, searching for it and instead just sort of like matched, as woo as this sound, I kind of like matched the vibration of what I wanted to attract, which was like happiness and confidence and like, you know, like just fun and love. And then in turn, I just received, like, I attracted the most incredible human, and there wasn't so much like, like pressure on the situation.
Yep. Sounds like someone's been reading Bob Proctor.
Yeah, oh my god, I love Bob Proctor. You know he died.
Yeah.
Yeah, so sad.
It is sad. Yeah. But left a legacy, clearly.
Yeah.
Now, one of the episodes that you did on your podcast, and as I said, I can't, you know, speak more highly of it, was this episode called How Do You Know That You've Met Prince Charming, or...
Prince Charming or Mr. Good Enough, Should We Settle?
That's it. And I thought that was a really good episode because you actually did looked at authors that had researched this particular topic. So can you enlighten the listeners on what you learned and sort of paraphrase that episode and the key points from that episode?
Yeah, I can. So it's an interesting one. It basically, the whole premise of the episode is centered around settling. And basically, there are different ways to view settling. And this is basically what the episode sort of explores. And it kind of, from as a female, was a bit concerning to me listening to it, because it basically had the view that women are depreciating assets. And the older we get, the less valuable we become to the opposite sex. And they basically talk about how women who are super attractive at a young age are more dismissive than your average woman. And they dismiss all of the sort of like attractive guys who then go on to marry the average women. And then by the time the attractive women reach the age of 30, there's basically no one left for them in the dating pool, and they're no longer desirable to the opposite sex. So as a woman, I found that super concerning. But there were also some valuable insights in the sense that it was sort of redefining what settling is. And for me, specifically when I was single for 9 years and on the dating apps, I would literally swipe left on guys if they had photos of themselves wearing thongs or playing sport, or if they were bald or not 6 foot tall. And then because I was single so long, I learned so much about myself and what was important, and my values ultimately changed throughout that process. And I came to realize that the things that actually mattered were things like how they treated you, whether they had integrity, whether they were consistent in their behavior, whether they were honest, and things like that. So it's redefining what settling is. Maybe you won't get the 6 foot millionaire, but maybe you'll get the guy who's going to treat you really well, who's going to be a great father, who also has the same political and religious views, you know, those sorts of things that matter long term. Yep. But just to counter something that was in the book is the fact that I met my partner at 32 years of age. So according to the book, I was a depreciating asset, But I think had I met him 10 years prior, we wouldn't be together because A, I wouldn't have valued who he is as a person, and B, I wouldn't be the right person. I wouldn't be ready for him. So he wouldn't probably have been attracted to me either. So I think that there is merit in waiting and getting some life experience under your belt.
Yeah, and I feel like you go through such a journey when you're in your 20s.
Right?
Yeah.
100%. I am so not the same person that I was 5 years ago, let alone 6 months ago. So if I got married in my 20s, I am, like, convinced that I would be divorced today or in therapy.
Both very bleak prospects.
I mean, I feel like everyone should have a therapist, but, like, or a coach, but I'd be in couples therapy for sure because, yeah, we probably would be at each other's throats. I think it's really hard to find somebody when you're young, i.e. Yeah. in your 20s, who you can grow with and who's going to appreciate, like, the way you evolve and change as a human.
Yeah. And here you are sitting in L.A. in a mansion living your best life. So that self-worth paid off, didn't it, Nicole?
I guess you could say that.
Now, one of the anecdotes that I really enjoyed from that episode was at your previous corporate job, some of your finance friends, probably some geeks, got an Excel spreadsheet out and started going through your specific categories of the gent you were looking for. Can you tell the listeners a bit more about that and how that came about?
Oh, my God. Okay, so, yeah, it was a group of friends at work who, late on a Friday afternoon, I had already left work, put together this Excel sheet, and basically it was a bunch of categories that they put together. I had no input whatsoever, and I actually would have changed a lot of things had I been there. But basically it was a way to determine how many eligible bachelors there were for me. I think it was in Sydney alone. They came up with like 103, which I thought was actually a lot. I was convinced there was like less than five, like literally at best. But yeah, some of the categories included, yeah, height, whether they were spiritual or not, how much money they earned, their age, stuff like that. But yeah, I thought 103 people was generous.
Really? Out of the whole of Sydney?
Yeah. I mean, I was single 9 years. I was like, my person doesn't exist. I was convinced.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, which is, again, very nice that you've finally met your Mr. Forever.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of helping other people, because I know you've obviously gone through your own journey, and is that fair to say why you started your own business? Because you want to help other women that are in the same situation? Yeah.
100%, yeah.
Yeah. With your services, like, can you talk us through what your actual services are that you offer?
Yeah, so in terms of my dating and relationship coaching, I coach singles who are just wanting to basically either find love or figure out how to be okay on their own. And then I also do couples coaching. And then through my podcast, I'll also be launching like a modern women's membership where we'll be doing basically like lots of like courses and workshops.
Okay. And Nicole, where people can find you?
Yeah, well, you can find me through my single at 30 Instagram. So it's single_at_30. And my podcast is available on all platforms. But I also have my coaching website, which is NicoleColantoni.com. And I coach singles and also couples. So you can find me there.
Perfect. Thanks again for coming on the show, Nicole.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Holistic You podcast, where we inspire you with the confidence to live a happy, healthy, and more balanced life. If you found today's content meaningful, please tag me in your stories or posts, or follow me on Instagram. Like and subscribe, and leave a 5-star written review.